Welcome to The Rink, your weekly source for hockey talk without the entitlement. I'm James Tapley Graylian, along with Tom Luongo. This week, Tom and I agree some, we disagree some, we learn, we laugh, we even talk some hockey. It's a very special episode of The Rink. Well, Tom, we finally had the end of what seems like 100 years of celebrating the Montreal Canadiens. Not celebrating their 100 years, but 100 years of celebration. In culminating in what, you know, it seems like about 500 jerseys, more ceremonies, more jersey retirements, and essentially the most important thing that could possibly happen in the history of the Montreal Canadiens. They actually won a game this season.
In regulation.
How many have they won in regulation this year? Just a couple? How many has it been?
Three
in regulation.
Yeah.
You know, I want to look at the Montreal or the Toronto Maple Leafs and say, wow, those guys are really handing out points to pretty much every team out there. But actually, it seems like it's the Canadiens that are doing it.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I think they're the poster children for why Pierre LeBrun has a good point about bringing in the 3-point regulation win. A great number. It was very on the eve of both their 100 year anniversary and the Sabres knocking the crap out of them Thursday night or Friday night. It was last week. It was really galling to me after having read the LeBrun article to just how much better the Sabres record would be relative to the Canadiens in the East and their position in the Eastern Conference had you go to that system. When you look at teams like Toronto and Montreal, who, you know, are literally, especially Montreal, literally playing for overtime every night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obscene. A team that's got 3 regulation wins should not be within striking distance of a playoff spot. This is not 1981.
Well, the wasn't it a couple of years ago? I mean, when pretty much this new when the shootout system started, everybody started looking at the systems and 3-point systems and the like, and they were pretty much coming to the assumption that the playoffs, the standings were virtually the same. But I don't know if they were looking at the 3-pointer as much as just, you know, if we were ending rather than in a shootout with the tie.
Interesting. In LeBrun's article, he references a discussion with Brian Burke. And Brian Burke said that they looked at the standings with the 3-point regulation win and without, and it was virtually identical. And they said, well, to not mind, that puts the entire issue to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, that's funny coming from Brian Burke, because he was the one that argued for the pity point originally in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Get teams to play differently in the last 5 to 10 minutes of the game. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He refuses to accept LeBrun's argument that if the regulation win was worth an extra point, that teams that were winning wouldn't, you know, be playing harder to, that teams wouldn't adjust their play styles in order to get the regulation win. And LeBrun's argument is a good one, and that, yeah, teams would scheme differently. They would play third periods differently.
Oh, yeah.
And we might actually wind up.
How many times have we seen teams play to a tie? Oh, yeah, yes. Over and over and over. And that was the argument originally for the shootout, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was. It was for not only for the shootout. No, the shootout would have never gotten past the GMs without the pity point.
Mm-hmm.
That's at this point, that's obviously, it's common knowledge at this point. The 3-point regulation victory, I'm not arguing against at this point.
No, you know what? I would love to see a 3-point, except for I think there are only 2 problems that hold them back from doing it. One, that you're going to have to get hockey fans to wrap their heads around it. And frankly, that shouldn't be too tough, but, you know, anyways, tradition and all of that. The other problem is that all of a sudden you have teams making 3 points a night rather than 2, and you're blowing out the old standings. And you know, as people love their tradition, you know, who cares if you have all of a sudden you have more win, you know, you have more points, and it's the most points in history. It's the most points in history, and you know, all the old guard standings go by the wayside because of it. I think they have a hard time wrapping their heads around that.
Sure, and you know, I'll say the same thing. Am I saying the same thing that I'm sure is on everybody else's lips? And the Montreal Canadiens of, 75, 76, mm-hmm. still won 62 games.
Yeah.
doesn't matter how many points they had. They won 62 games. Mm-hmm. And I only know that because I actually watched the replay of the Montreal ceremony that they put on in Montreal on Saturday night. Or Friday night or whatever it was. And it was on Saturday. It was the ceremony was on Friday and I watched the replay of it on the NHL Network on Saturday. You know, I hate the Montreal Canadiens. I had really enjoyed that ceremony. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it was really great. When everybody in the Bell Center stood up when they introduced Guy Carboneau, of all people, I felt like a real ape for, like, really giving it to Carboneau for all these years. for playing that ridiculous brand of defensive, you know, hockey that he plays and that he's always coached and he always played. It was really cool. Mm-hmm. It was a great thing to watch.
How about Patrick Waugh really filling out those goalie pads?
Yeah.
He's looking like Marty McSorley these days. I mean, he's put on a few pounds.
He's looking like Al Gore, sorry. he's the ever expanding Gore.
That's a good, I hadn't even thought of that. Yeah. Oh, Patrick.
Oh, my.
The way he left the, you know, I mean, I just always think back to the way he left the team and, you know, and the way that went down in Montreal. And, you know, I guess you can't really argue with his numbers. You can't really argue with, you know, with his play. I mean, you know, it was him and Ken Dryden, as far as I'm concerned, you know, right. And I mean, it goes farther back than that, obviously. But, you know, then the way he comes, you know, he's welcome back. That's great. And it's just kind of funny to me that
it was great to see him out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great to see him. Great to see them put those players in the positions that they deserve to be in relative to their careers. Ken Dryden, Guy Lafleur, and Patrick Waugh. If you had that ceremony and Patrick Waugh and the Canadiens were still holding a grudge against each other, you know, for how things went down, that would have been an embarrassment.
Mm-hmm.
For everybody.
Well, it would have been an embarrassment had the Montreal Canadiens lost that night to the Boston Bruins.
Actually, yeah, well, yeah, but I, you know, to be honest with you, games like that, the team that's being honored usually does lose. Because they've got this. It's just usually what happens. You know, the warm up is so long, and it's all that stuff, and they can't really concentrate on the game itself. You know, good Canadians actually came out and played a good game for once. Mm-hmm. And
as far as I know, there was no rioting after a Boston Bruins loss, which is, you know, amazing in itself, I guess.
I still giggled like a schoolgirl when the Sabres ran up the score with 25 seconds left the night before. So that's great. Vanek and Greer on a 2-on-1, and Vanek saucer passes to Mike Greer, of all people, to run the score up with 25 seconds left.
Have fun in your ceremony tomorrow, boys.
Yeah. I was howling. Of all people, Mike Greer can't catch a cold, and he caught that saucer pass perfectly out of the air to put it past Palak. It was brilliant.
That's just painful.
It was really good. I enjoyed it.
The Montreal Canadiens win 5-1. The next night, the Flyers basically get their new coach, Pierre Laviolette, after John Stevens is fired, and lose to the Washington Capitals, who do not have Alex Ovechkin, lose 8-2.
Yeah.
Now, I remember once you said, and I'm not bringing this up to, you know, point a finger at you or anything, but I remember you saying that usually right after a new coach comes in, the team does start winning because you know, you've got that energy and people are, you know, a little more, you know, just the situation. It always seems like they start, you know, maybe a three-game winning streak or something like that and come down to earth. I'm not bringing this up to you just to, you know, to point a finger at you, but boy, the Flyers sure did show kind of why John Stevens got his butt handed to him, huh?
Yeah, that's the prevailing hockey wisdom, is that, you know, you change the coach, and, you know, if you're not willing to show up for the new coach the first night, at least, you know, to play for your job, because this guy doesn't know you from Adam, presumably, mm-hmm. That, you know, it's usually a done deal that they're at least going to go out and play well in their first game. To get blown out 8-2 is like, well, welcome to the city of Menendez brotherly love, mm-hmm. Pete. I'm sorry. You know, that's got to be a miserable room to go out and lose to Washington 8-2 that first night, is after, you know, what was happening. Obviously, what was going on within the locker room with John Stevens, that he couldn't get that room under control. That's just otherworldly how bad it is.
Well, and they lose 8-2 to the Washington Capitals, who don't have Alex Ovechkin, because Ovechkin was suspended for 2 games. Yeah, that's even uglier. I mean, that's just horrible.
Yeah, you put up 8 goals and Ovechkin's not even on the ice. Wow. Carcillo then sucker punches Matt Bradley in the middle of the game.
Mm-hmm.
He got four games, thankfully. It means I don't have to. Are they playing Philly this week? Are we playing Philly this week? I'm not sure. I hope not. I hope so. So we don't have to see Carcillo. He doesn't have to like run around and whack somebody behind the knees or something. Interesting. Good shout out to Japers Rink, the JP over Japers Rink. That apparently Carcillo was trying to talk his way out of, you know, why he sucker punched Bradley by saying that, you know, that was payback for something that happened on an earlier shift. And apparently JP went through the shift charts to find out that previous to that shift, Matt Bradley and Dan Carcillo had spent all of 1 second on the ice together. And
maybe they got in each other's way on a line change. That's all it takes these days.
Bradley must be really good at his job to get under somebody's skin in 1 second. You know, even I'm not that good at it.
Well, wow. That, I mean, yeah, that's that. Yeah, I'm not going to go wow. there with you. But I mean, this is, well, Big Bad Bruins, you know, and that's what, or I mean, it's Big Bad Bruins, the Broad Street Bullies, you know, or everybody was saying, oh, the bullies are back. And this is what it culminates in. I mean, I'm expecting, you know, real intimidation rather than a sucker punch, or, you know, Ian LaPerriere, who, you know, I would love to have back on the Avalanche team. Believe me, I sure. love Ian LaPerriere, but, you know, his fighting style generally is grab a hold. And, you know, how bad is how big and tough is Chris Pronger been? Not very. So I don't know. It's just it seems like for all the hype, we're almost looking at another, what, Ottawa Senators of 2 years ago, that everybody expects them to do so well and nothing.
You know, I'm really not feeling all that bad about that.
No, I can imagine.
just not, you know. And when I really stop to think about it, I think, you know, there's actually 3 or 4 Philly fans out there complaining that Carcillo got suspended. I'm like, well, you know, this has been a long time coming.
Mm-hmm.
They immediately run the Flyers persecution complex stuff about, you know, like the Randy Jones hit and the Briere suspension earlier in the year. And I'm like, you know, actually, considering the way the Flyers normally run around the ice, I happen to think it's the opposite. There's no persecution complex. I think they get away with all sorts of nonsense. And you could suspend somebody almost every night.
I think,
and,
you know,
any reasonable Flyers fan would agree with you.
Yeah. Okay. Think of what you said there, reasonable Flyers
I know.
Fan. But is there a team that doesn't have that that fan complex of, you know, the league is against us for any team that's been in the league since 1978, you know, there's always the quote unquote evidence. And I don't buy it for any of them. You know, I absolutely no team has been, you know, has been crapped on that much by the league. To the point where,
ready?
Oh, we're getting killed. We're getting, you know, the league wants us to lose. The league wants us to lose. I don't buy it for a second.
No, I don't buy it, but I do. I may not buy it much, but there does seem to be a pattern of behavior. You know, it's interesting. The other night, I didn't even think about it until after the game. But in the Buffalo Rangers game, go back and watch the highlights of that game. Well, at least just watch the second goal by the Rangers' second goal by Ryan Callahan, and you tell me if the puck actually ever went in the net or not. I think it hits the crossbar and bounces back out into the blue paint. But everybody saw a goal being scored, and it wasn't reviewed. And Don Van Massifhozer called it a goal, and they wound up winning a game 2-1. And I don't think I don't see any way in which that puck could have gone in the net, because it would have had to have. If it didn't hit the crossbar, it would have had to have hit the net right behind the crossbar and not continue to travel forward. Now, I've seen pucks hit like the back of the net or the bar in the back of the net and come out again real fast, and we miss it. But this is a clear case of Callahan hit the post. And because we all saw a two-on-one with a perfect pass and the guy bury it, we saw what we wanted to see. And I don't think the puck was – I don't think the goal was reviewed.
I haven't actually – I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Yeah, I know. And there was no controversy about it, and no one even talked about it except – there were a couple of guys on the Buffalo guys on HF were saying, I don't think that was a goal. Just somebody, you know, and they weren't saying, God, we got robbed. No, they said, unless I can see a better angle, like an overhead angle or something, could somebody please tell me, could somebody got a better angle so I can just say that and hope that we didn't get robbed last night? And he started a thread on the main board, and there were even Rangers fans going in there, dude, that didn't look like a goal. I'm really sorry. That doesn't look like a goal. And then Lundqvist gives up a cheap goal to Pominville with like 50 seconds left in the game. You know, after being brilliant for the first 59 minutes, and you know, we lose 2-1. I'm not going to cry about it forever, but you know, it's just one of those. It seems to happen an awful lot.
Well, it in you Western know what the I don't know. I don't buy that the refs are against anybody. I don't believe that the league is against anybody. If the league was against anybody, it was the former ownership of the Phoenix Coyotes, and that's it. And aside from that, I don't think that anybody wants any team to lose more than anybody else. You know, it's just, I just don't buy it.
I know that the referees are human, and but. Plays like that seem to follow Van Massenhoser around.
Well, I just can't agree that it follows him right to the Sabres, and I can't agree
that's not what I said. I just said it just seems to keep happening.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, I'm trying to be kind about it, and I don't know. I didn't go through all that to say, oh my God, we got hosed by the league. No, it was just look, yet another phantom goal. Phantom goal.
Well, they actually got it right the other night against Colorado versus Columbus, where the puck didn't go. The puck actually snuck under the net rather than across the goal line into the. Right. And they reviewed it and got it right. Which
yeah, they normally get it right. Yeah. You know, but I guess if I'm going to complain in this rant is that I've seen enough goals or quote unquote goals not reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
And when the NHL says they review every goal, that I don't believe that, and I'm tired of them giving me that line because they went back and they took a goal off the board for the New York Rangers a couple of years ago and made them replay like 5 minutes worth of game. You remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You mean to tell me who they didn't see that goal and then not call the thing back? This is not conspiracy. This is incompetence.
No, I understand, but what you're also asking for is a review on a goal that, you know, when you're saying I don't have I didn't see the overhead, nobody's seen the overhead. Well, the league sees the overhead. You know, the league has that ability. So just because they didn't call it back doesn't mean that they didn't, you know, that there was reason to call it back. In other words, if they had,
you know, interesting. No, I'm arguing about this because, interestingly, I don't know why there wasn't an overhead angle, why we didn't ever see an overhead angle of it. Because there might not have been that tonight. There might not have been that night.
And where were they playing?
They were playing in Buffalo.
There was an overhead angle.
There should have been.
Unless you're playing, in Fort Collins, Colorado, at a preseason game, there's an overhead angle. Everybody has an overhead angle.
I mean, if it was a good goal, it was a good goal. I'm not. Don't get me wrong. I don't care. I'm just saying. There's just I've seen enough of this and that. Not just in Sabres games, but in general, that there are a lot of things that I am now officially tired of the line. Every goal is reviewed by Toronto. I'm now officially tired of that line because it's nonsense. Just like we review the performance of all our referees equally. Nonsense. If so, many guys would have lost their jobs a long time ago. Nonsense. That's it. That's as far as I'm going to go.
Okay.
But yeah. But that thing. I'm now just officially on. I'm done with that. I used to believe the league on this. I'm not because that goal should have been reviewed. Period. Well.
Just because they didn't review it for Tom Luongo doesn't mean that they didn't review it. That's the thing. That's, I mean, it's kind of like this this recent spat
James, they dropped
to blow the whistle. Is, you know, it's not there. None of this is there to satisfy every fan, and that's the problem. You know,
I understand.
And frankly, if the broadcasters that you were watching had thought, hey, maybe that wasn't a goal, you would have seen the overhead, and you would have heard holy hell from them as well. You know, and that's the thing. And frankly, one of the big reviews for if it hit the crossbar is what did it sound like? You know,
right.
You've heard the puck hit the net.
I'm not arguing that. What I'm saying is they dropped the puck in 20 seconds and went back to center ice. I mean, there wasn't a review of that play. There was not a review of that play, because if there was, with the angle that we saw, they wouldn't have dropped the puck in 20 seconds. There would have been a phone call down from Toronto. This is Saturday night. There's 14 games going on. No reason to believe that somebody, you know, didn't go out to the bathroom. And
that was games, it. And somebody went to the bathroom, and that was it. That they did. Nobody saw it because they went to the bathroom. That's what the word.
You understand what I'm getting.
I totally understand what you're getting. I'm just not buying it. I don't buy it for a second. I don't buy it when, you know, if
go watch, go do me a favor, go watch the replay.
I will watch the replay. And I will tell you that I don't believe that they wouldn't review something. That's all. That's what I'm saying. It's not that, you know, that you're incorrect. Maybe it wasn't a goal, but maybe it was. But they don't, you know, I just have a really hard time imagining that they wouldn't review it and call down even after the play had started.
Okay.
You know, that's all. Okay. That's where I come from. That I just have a really hard time buying that the league just doesn't even try. You know, they don't try with marketing. They don't try with all of that. But I don't think that they leave stuff like that just to absolute chance. They don't always get it right. I'm not saying they always get it right, but you know, I'm just not quite. I'm not on board for that.
Okay, I am more than on board with that, because I see too much of it on a nightly basis. Yeah. So, too many years of it. So, yeah, let's move on.
Yeah, it's. Can we talk about something a little bit funnier? Like, sure. Keith Ballard taking out his own goalie,
and then trying to take out yours.
Well, yeah.
That's actually something I've been wanting to talk to you about, because I'm of the opinion that Anderson was far enough out of his crease that, you know, given the situation, Ballard was just doing his job, which was driving the net.
I don't even think he was that far out of the crease. I don't even think that that's as big a, you know, is the big
problem.
About
5 feet.
I think that the big problem was that, you know, there was an Avalanche player behind Ballard, and basically, you know, helped him down.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it was Ballard's fault necessarily. And hey, I'm an Avs fan. I don't think it was Ballard's fault. I was watching that several times. I was just like, how exactly was he supposed to stay on his feet?
Exactly. Yeah. But what annoyed me was that G-Dub went and, you know, put him in the because of context, because of what happened to Vokoun not 4 days earlier, put him in the dishonorable mention, and, you know, showed it. I'm like, are you kidding me? And then there were people wanting Ballard to run out of the league, and it's just the standard, you know, puck daddy, oh my god, over the top nonsense. And I'm like, come on. I'm like, at the end of the day, I'm like, I want Keith Ballard on my team after that rush.
Well, Tom, I'll tell you this. Recently, I was on Puck Daddy as one of the five reasons I love hockey.
Right.
And I was an emergency substitution. I totally admit it. I totally understand that. But I was on there, and immediately I said, you know what? I'm not reading any of the comments. I think I read maybe two comments, and I was like, you know what? None of them, those weren't mean or anything like that. But I was like, you know what? I know what Puck Daddy comments are like. They're not rational. I'm not going to read these. There's no reason. So,
no, and it's something that
it's like deadspin, by half. I mean, the biggest problem for me with Puck Daddy comments is that there are so many of them, just because there are some really intelligent, thoughtful comments out there on some of the stuff that's on there, and then there's, you know, a lot of dick jokes, and that's just, you know, that's okay, but it's just not worth it.
Right. Now I understand, and Eric and I have talked, and I think me and Eric have actually talked about this together. Yeah. That, you know, that there's that whole this commenters want to take Wyshynski or Sean Leahy down and yada yada yada, and there's all that stuff, and like, you know, I'm just not into that. I understand that completely. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the thing that happened with Ballard and Bokun was just odd.
Well, one of the best comments I heard about it was, you know what? Call for anytime somebody smashes their stick like that, you know what? That looks like unsportsmanlike conduct to me. I mean, it's not a game changer, but hey, you know what? That is unsportsmanlike conduct. You're acting like a baby. You're a professional hockey player. Take 2 minutes in the box, you know, and a couple of those, and you tell me that crap won't stop, you know?
It will. It happens all over the place now.
It does. But there's no room for it. That's the thing. There shouldn't be any room for it.
Because at the end of the day, you still have a club in your hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a $200 club, and that, you know, I mean, aside from the fact that it doesn't really matter how much, you know, how much of that thing cost, but, you know, they were, yeah, call it. Call 2 minutes for that. That's fine. I wouldn't mind, you know. If you're going to act like a jerk and do something like that, okay, I understand you're frustrated, but, you know, score at the other end and get your frustrations out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there'll be another game in 2 days. You'll be fine.
That's a perfectly reasonable response. It happens so regularly anymore. I'm not sure that's going to happen.
No, I don't think it will happen, but I think they should do it.
I don't want to turn it into the no fun league though, where they can't celebrate and they can't get frustrated and they can't do this and they can't do that. I think there's a fine line with that one.
No, I don't think it'd be a no fun league at that. You know, I think that if you want to take your frustrations out, either score on the other end or see that guy over there who just checked your guy, well, go get in a fight with him. Have a lovely time. You know,
on the other side of it, we have hockey player acting like a jerk. I get to actually do hockey player acting like a really cool guy. Ready?
Oh, yeah.
So the other night, Ryan Miller went to play the puck and shoot the puck off the glass, hard around the boards, and put the puck right through the camera hole.
Oh, and I heard about that.
And hit the cameraman. And when he realized that he hit the cameraman with the puck, he went right over to check to see if the guy was okay, which was, you know, cool. Mm-hmm. Better. When the horn sounded that night, it was the Montreal game, he walked right over and handed him the stick through the hole.
I don't know if I'd ever want to see that stick again. Thanks. Here's the implement of your destruction. Enjoy.
You understand. No, he didn't hit the guy. He did hit the guy. And the guy was, obviously, was, you know, he accepted it and he was happy with it. But it was just Miller trying to, you know, trying to do the right thing. And we have Ballard trying to take off, trying to turn Bokun into Vincent Van Gogh. And we have, you know, Miller trying to make up for an accident.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. That is actually pretty cool. I think about that football photographer who got just creamed one time. Winds up having to go in for like a, you know, they you know, treat him well and all of that, and I think he had a CAT scan, and wound up finding out he had a tumor.
And oh my God!
And if he hadn't, and mind you, he was you know, it was operable, and they, you know, went with chemo and all that crap. But the NFL completely paid for it because he was on the job, and
right.
B, if he hadn't been creamed like that, he would have never found out he had it,
right?
Until basically it was too late. So
yeah. So just odd the way things work out sometimes.
Ain't it though? Hey, I did want to talk to you about something that I don't know if you're really going to care about or not.
We'll find out.
Brendan Shanahan retired, right?
Yeah.
And then immediately got hired by the league in as like a vice president of hockey operations or something like that, in a very business capacity. And I don't get it.
I have no opinion. I don't know anything. I wish I could. I wish I did have an opinion, because, you know, I like to have an opinion about everything. But I don't know. Someone who knows Channy better than me, or the situation better than me, would be better to comment. I can't comment on something I know literally zero about.
I mean, other than his time as a you know, Detroit Red Wing, of course, you know, I like Brendan Shanahan well enough, but I just don't understand, you know, what place he's going to have on the business side of the NHL at the league level. And then at that point, if he has that kind of side, boy, if you were the NHLPA, wouldn't you be like kind of looking his way anyway, you know, at that point?
Yeah, that's interesting. And the other, that as a potential replacement for Paul Kelly.
Or just any kind of capacity that, you know, has some, you know, who's going to have more of a more credibility, Eric Lindros or Brendan Shanahan?
Yeah. You know? We've talked about it long enough, the only thing I can really think of is that, remember, Shanny's been a longtime member of the competition committee and been, you know, very involved in the evolution of the rules of the game. And the NHL may have just hired him as a consultant to work with the competition committee, in a sense. They may give him that, in that what rule changes do we need to implement and how, and to be the liaison between the league and the Players Association. Because going back to our CBA discussion from earlier and earlier times, one of the things that's going to be the bargaining chips for the players as we discuss the evolution of the partnership between the league and the players is, how is the league going to adjudicate players' safety? Mm-hmm. I think that's the big issue that's going to come up, that the players are going to get on the league, say, if you want to do X, Y, and Z, well, we want headshots called. We want this. We want this. We want this, because we're tired of getting killed out here.
Mm-hmm. And which is all stuff that a competition committee can talk about.
Exactly.
But here's the thing, though. I want you to realize this in the context, is that his Brendan Shanahan's title, Vice President, Hockey and Business Development. So,
yeah.
I mean, they're throwing business right in there, which, it could be a, you know, thanks a lot glad handing job. But then again, he doesn't seem like one of those guys who's just going to go, okay, I'm just here to sit at a desk and make an honorable mention paycheck, you know, or thanks for your time with the league. I mean, this is, you know, they're throwing business right in there.
I don't know. Yeah. I do not know. It's a good question to ask. And I gave you my best shot.
Well, like I said, you know, I didn't know if it would be on your radar or not. I wanted to,
I saw it. I couldn't really care much about it, because the less that I see Brendan Shanahan, the happier I am. I don't like it. So.
I understand that. Well, Tom, I think that's about all I have on my plate.
Yeah, I'm more than good. And I think the puck just dropped at the bank. So
get to your game.
All right. We'll talk to you later, bud.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
That does it for episode number 56 of The Rink. You can always find The Rink at www.rinkpodcast.com, where you can check out our Twitter feed, find out how to subscribe on iTunes, or comment about anything you heard on the show. You can email us at rink@rinkpodcast.com. Our Twitter feed is twitter.com/rinkpodcast. And you can call us at 845-704-RINK. That's 845-704-7465. Thanks a lot for listening to The Rink.